Certainly like to welcome everyone this morning to the services. It's kind of cool and rainy looking outside, but we know it's warm in here because we're meeting with those of like precious faith, and the warmth and the love that we have for God is in abundance throughout the congregation this morning. And we're very thankful for each and everyone who was able to meet this morning in order to worship God, to study His Word, and to remember His Son's death through the communion. I'd like to talk for a short time this morning about the things that define who we are. And we're going to look at the things that Jesus did when He was here upon the earth, because we realize that Jesus was the perfect example, the perfect role model that we are to follow if we ever hope to obtain a home in heaven. The things that He did, the way He lived, the attitude with which He conducted His life is the perfect pattern for us in the footsteps that we need to follow. And we realize that sometimes we're going to fall short of that. The Scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we also realize that we can't use this as an excuse to go off and do the things that we want to do. We have to pursue the Christian life as if it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week responsibility, and it is. And we need to follow the examples that Jesus set if we want to be pleasing in the eyes of God. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. This was the attitude, one of the attitudes that defined who Jesus was. Jesus was given authority from God and power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cause the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. But he didn't account any of these things to his own abilities or anything of himself. He always made it clear to people that these things came from God, and he only did them. It was only God acting through him and not anything that he was doing of himself. And this is one of the attitudes that we are to emulate. And we're going to look at some other things that Jesus did and the importance of following his example as we continue this morning. But first, we have an opportunity and a privilege of going to God in prayer, to making our wants and petitions known unto Him, and to offer thanksgiving for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon us. So when each of you now humble yourselves in some manner and be attentive to the one that's been selected as He leads us in a word of prayer. Just heard in one of the lines of the song that was just led by Brother Keith, the day of Jesus appearing will appear at last. We realize and accept as Christians that this is going to come, that the day of judgment one day will be here. And when the condition of the world and the things that are going on, we realize that that day may come sooner than anyone thinks. And of course, we also realize that our lives can be taken from us at any time, and we may not be one of those who is alive when Jesus comes again. We may have already passed from this life, and as such, we realize that we'll have to suffer the consequences of the life that we've lived when Jesus comes back to judge the quick or the living and the dead. And I think this is something that we need to stay focused on, and our attitude towards it is going to be one of the things that defines who we are. We realize on the day of judgment that Jesus is going to divide each and every person, and there's going to be some who are going to be judged as good and they'll go to heaven, and there are going to be those who are judged as not being good, and those that are going to receive an eternal punishment for not living the life that the Scriptures prescribe that we're supposed to live. Now, obviously, when these things come to pass, the physical things of life will be gone, but creating a hypothetical situation here, I think if we think about it, and if we could look back and see who got put on what side, everybody's going to have a different opinion of what happened there. And one of the main things that I think that we would see is a lot of people are going to fall in this category who the world would consider good. There are people who go about doing good things. They live good, clean, moral lives. And to the average person who doesn't know what the Scriptures teach and what it really tells us that we need to do, those people may be considered good in the sight of man. And many people would feel unworthy of an eternal punishment for because they've lived what's considered a good life here upon the earth. But we also realize that we're going to be judged not only by the things that we do, but the things that we have not done. And I think that's going to be one of the things that keeps more people out of heaven possibly than anything else, because we realize Even though the world is an ugly place right now and there's a lot of bad and immoral things that happen, there are a lot of good things that happen. But a lot of the good things that happen in this area and a lot of the people that are doing good are not in the assembly this morning, and that is because they don't study the scriptures, they don't realize the truth. You have many people who are devout, spiritual people, but they are following the wrong cause and the wrong instructions, and they're listening to the doctrines of men instead of what the Bible teaches. And unfortunately, those people are going to fall on this side, we believe, according to what the scriptures teach, when Jesus comes back on that day to judge each and every person. And so, as such, we realize that we need to make sure that we're emulating the example that Jesus set forth for us. We need to judge ourselves, so to speak, or we need to have introspection and look at the life that we're living and make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. And if we're not, we need to correct them. Throughout the course of time, as we look at the scriptures, we realize there have been many great followers of God who have done what a lot of people who are going to fall in this category, as we mentioned, haven't done. And they took a stand and they refused to do things that others might not have had the will or conviction to do. And again, this is something that we need to have the strength to overcome the trials and tribulations and the temptations that we face in life. And of course, we can look to Jesus as an example, but there are other people in the Bible that we could consider heroes, I guess, or role models that we should follow. Moses was certainly one of these. We realize Moses was one who his mother was afraid that he was going to be killed, and he was put in a basket, and he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And once he realized what his heritage was, and he saw the oppression that the Hebrews were under, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and ultimately he was cast out of a lifestyle that would be very comfortable even by today's standards, in comparison to what everyone else was going through. But Moses was one who realized his situation, and he refused what he didn't feel he was right to, and he went back to the people of his own blood and eventually became a great instrument of God's plan, and one that, again, we can look to his example and realize that sometimes the things of this world, even though they may make us comfortable and happy, we think, they may be contrary to the things that God wants us to do, and we need to learn to have the same attitude of refusing those things and staying away from them. Daniel is another one that we can look to. We realize Daniel was one who was despised by many other of Nebuchadnezzar's advisors and staff. And they tried to get Daniel into trouble by getting the king to make a command or a decree that his followers weren't to pray to other gods. And they realized that Daniel was one who three times a day prayed towards Jerusalem. And because Daniel did this, he was thrown into the lion's den. And, of course, God delivered him from that. Around the same time, there were three men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to worship the golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar decreed that they should worship, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they were delivered also because they stood for the things that God wanted them to stand for. We also realize in the story of Job that Job was one who was afflicted by Satan. God gave the devil permission to torment Job, so to speak, to see how loyal he really was to God, and we realize that in all things, Job refused to curse God and die as his friends had told him he should do because of the many things that befell him. But he endured and he suffered the trials and tribulations that were afflicted upon him. And in the end, we see where God rewarded him sevenfold for his faith and determination to stick to God. And of course, we realize through these examples, the same things can happen to us. We may not realize a reward in this physical life, but we realize that in the life to come, we will be rewarded for this, and it will be a much greater reward than anything we can receive here upon the earth. And it's also a comfort to know that we won't have to suffer the same fate as those who refuse to obey God and do the things that He would have them to do. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus did when He was here upon the earth and see how they defined what makes a good role model for us to follow, and an example for us in a way that we should pattern our lives after the things that he did. We're going to read now from Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. We realize that when we study the New Testament, that Jesus, when he was here upon the earth, we realize that Jesus established the New Testament. It was ratified by his death on the cross. It brought to a close the Old Testament and the commands of God's children to follow those doctrines and commandments. But as Jesus lived here upon the earth, he lived under the Old Testament. And because he lived a perfect life under the Old Testament and was the only person that was ever able to do that, that's what made him a perfect and acceptable sacrifice unto God for our sins and the sins of all mankind. And as such, as Jesus lived, even though he was teaching the New Testament, he was establishing his teachings and the things that that his followers were to do under the New Testament, he lived under the Old Testament. And one of the things that the Old Testament required, one of the first commandments that was given to Moses by God, was remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And when the Sabbath day came around, it says as it was Jesus' custom, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's where the Jews were supposed to go. Under the Old Testament, Saturday or the Sabbath was the day that they were gathered together and to worship. And even though we're not told in the Scriptures, I'm sure that we can necessarily infer that every Sabbath day, Jesus was in the synagogue somewhere. The place where Jesus traveled, we realize as he traveled about on his mission to bring the New Testament to the world, he didn't really travel that far from the place that he was born. And everywhere that he went, there was a synagogue, and this is where he would go because this is where the Jews would gather. And as Jesus came and taught primarily to the Jews, there were certainly Gentiles that would hear him speaking as he talked to the multitudes, but his message was primarily for the Jews to convert them first, and of course we realize eventually the Gentiles would be brought in as well. But he knew the place to go to find the Jews was in a synagogue. If we're Christians and we're doing the things that we need to do, if somebody really needs to find us, I'd be willing to bet you that they would know to come down to this building on Sunday morning because they know that's where we're at. I know personally, our business, we get calls. I have people calling me every day of the week, but very seldom when we get home on Sunday afternoon is there a message on the answer machine because people know where we're at. They know we're in church. And that's certainly something that I guess I feel a little proud of. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do, and it's something that we need to have that kind of influence on other people, and we need to live that example, and for people to realize and know that's where we are, that there's nothing more important to us than being in the assembly on Lord's Day. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We realize that Jesus wanted to establish the fact that everything that he did was the will of his Father and not of his own decisions. Jesus made this clear as he went about in teaching. And anytime anybody tried to heap accolades on him or things of this nature, he would constantly remind them that he was only doing the will of his Father. And as Christians, we need to have the same kind of attitude. And obviously when we do things that are good, we're not going to hear the voice of God coming from heaven saying, well done. But we can realize in our hearts and in our minds that God does see those things, and he does consider the fact that that we have done these things right in his sight. As we realize Jesus is our advocate in heaven, He's going before the Father and telling him the things that we're doing, whether they're good or whether they're evil. And we want to make sure that the message that's being sent is in the way that we live is that we are doing the things that are right and good. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. It's one that I'm sure that we're all familiar with, as we see that Jesus went into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Obviously, this, and the Scripture tells us, he was hungry. He had been out there in the wilderness with little or nothing to eat or drink, and he was in a physically weakened state. And it's interesting that at this time, Satan sought to tempt Jesus, and it shows to us that Jesus did everything of his own free will. Obviously, Satan wouldn't have had a cause to try to tempt him if he didn't think that he would be successful. And yet we see that Jesus, even though he was living in a human form and was physically weak, he never gave in to the temptation that that Satan was offering him. And we realize, again, as Christians, that we need to try to have the same attitude. When we're tempted by things that will lead us astray, we need to recognize that that's what it is, and we need to avoid it at all costs. The Scriptures tell us that that all have sinned. We're going to make mistakes, and that's why we're given an avenue of forgiveness, where when we do make mistakes, we can confess our faults and pray one for another that we will be healed. But again, this doesn't give us an excuse, and many times in the history of the world, we see there was even a time in Roman Catholicism where they had a system called indulgences, where people would go and pay, basically, they would pay an amount of money for a sin that they were about to go out and commit, that they would be forgiven of it before they ever did it. And we realize that God doesn't operate in this way. He doesn't expect us to go out and do things because we know that if we go to him, we'll be forgiven for them. And again, this all has to do with attitude and how we perceive our relationship with God and how we live. If we're going out and doing things with that attitude, I'm not sure what level of forgiveness we're going to get, and I'm not sure what kind of a reflection that causes others to have of the way we're living. But it's important for us to remember that we're all going to be faced with temptations in one form or another. And things that will tempt one person maybe are not a temptation to others. And when we look in our set, when we reflect upon our lives and we realize the things that that are a temptation to us and avoid them, we'll become stronger Christians because of that. And that's all part of the growing process, and that's something I think that that's important for us to remind everyone and remind ourselves of, that being a Christian is a growing process. As we remember, Jesus talked about, or they talked about in the, Paul and some of the other writers talked about the word. To some it was milk, and to others it was meat. It's the same word. It depends on how much you know and how deep your knowledge becomes of the Word of God, and that comes through study, and that's something that we're to do. We're to continue to grow as Christians. God doesn't expect us when we come out of the watery grave of baptism to automatically know everything that we're to do, and that's why we assemble on Lord's Day to learn. And that's, again, that's why it's important not to miss, is so that we can absorb as much as we possibly can, That's why we're told in the scriptures to study daily, so that we can become more and more, our actions and deeds and thoughts can be more and more governed by the things that the Bible teaches. And it's to be a growing process, and one that we need to continue to nurture and to grow. Matthew chapter 16, beginning of verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here we see where Jesus is telling the apostles that that a time was coming, that he would have to go to Jerusalem, and Jesus realized that this would be the time of his departure from this life, the time that he would have to make the ultimate sacrifice that he was sent here to do, and to die on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And of course, Peter, being the outspoken one, tried to convince Jesus that this is something that he shouldn't do. Let it be far from thee. Don't let this happen to you. And Jesus told him that he had to do that. That this was a thing of God, and that Peter cared more about his about the physical things of life and physical relationships than the spiritual things. And it's important to note in verse 24 also, when Jesus said, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You don't see it as often now as you used to, but occasionally you'll see someone walking up and down the street with a big cross that they've made. And of course we realize that Jesus isn't telling us we literally need to make a cross and carry it around with us, but we realize that his cross was his cause, and that was establishing his kingdom here upon the earth and perpetuating it. And he tells us that we need to deny ourselves. There's things that we may want to do that we have to deny in order to be his followers, and again, in order to perpetuate his cause and kingdom here upon the earth. We are now, the church is his ambassadors here upon the earth. We are those who are to spread the word and to live a life that's an example to others of what it means to be a Christian, and to try to draw people out of the world before it's everlasting too late. And that's what he means here by taking up his cross, taking up his cause, taking up the thing that he came here to do. He died for our sins, and he doesn't want anyone else to have to suffer an eternal torment. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't mean they will not. He says they should not. If they believe and do the things that the scriptures teach, they will receive a reward in heaven and not an eternal punishment. Another thing that we realize about Jesus is he, again, as we mentioned before, he refused to be corrupted by fame or to acknowledge that anything that he did was in and of himself. We can see this in a couple of scriptures, John 3, verses 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And this was something, again, that Jesus, those who sought after him called him Rabbi or teacher. There were many who realized that the spiritual gifts that he had, the things that he did and the miracles that he performed were from God. And Jesus realized that as well and never took credit for those things. And it's important to realize the humbleness that Jesus had. Also we read in Matthew 19, verse 16 and 17, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. As we realize, as this story goes on, we realize this this young man that had come to Jesus was one who had done all the things, as Jesus said here, to keep the commandments. And this young man goes on to say that he had done all these things that he had kept the commandments, but when Jesus asked him to sell everything that he had and give it to the poor, he wasn't able to do it, and he went away sorrowful. And that's going to be one of the people, unfortunately, that's going to end up over here, because even though he did things that were good, he obeyed the commandments under the old law, and did everything that it taught him to do, he wasn't willing to go the extra mile. He wasn't willing to do the thing that Jesus asked him to do, and because of that, he will suffer an eternal punishment. When we think about Jesus again, we realize that he remained humble in everything that he did. He never took credit upon himself for anything that he did. And we realize today we see many people in the world who tend to think too much of themselves and think too highly of themselves because of the things that they've accomplished. And we realize that Jesus was one. As we look about, we realize that no other one individual in the history of mankind has ever had the influence that Jesus had. His followers were accused of being those who turned the world upside down in establishing the early church. And we see that the life of Jesus still affects people 2,000 years later and people all over the world. So if anybody ever had a right to get a big head or an ego, we think it would have been Jesus, but he never was this way. He always attributed everything that he did and was able to do to his Father. And when we have the same kind of attitude and realize that that God has work for us to do, but we can't do it without his help, we will become better people because of it. Another thing that Jesus did was he refused to lose sight of his ultimate goal. And John 16 and verse 15, or John 6 and 15, we read, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." This is one of the things that Jesus had to contend with throughout the time that he was here upon the earth, is those who misunderstood his message. There were those who thought he was coming to establish a king in Israel, that they would break off from the Roman Empire, either by, I don't know how they thought they were going to do it, if it was by a miracle or some armed force that they were going to gather together, but the Jews were anxious to get out from underneath Roman domination, and when Jesus came talking about a kingdom, they got the wrong idea and thought he was speaking of a physical kingdom and not a spiritual kingdom. And so we see here that there were those who had come and take him and try to make him the new king of Israel. And he departed and got away from that because that wasn't what his goal and intention was here upon the earth. I'd like now to read from John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters went unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." Again, we see an example here of the apostles not exactly understanding the things that Jesus was teaching them. He told them that their friend Lazarus was asleep when actually he had died. declared that he was dead and he was put in a tomb. And we know that Jesus was going there with the purpose of raising Lazarus from the dead, again to show the authority that he had from God. And the apostles tried to talk him out of it, because when he had gone that way before, the Jews and others had sought to kill Jesus. And this was not yet the time of his sacrifice, but he knew it was important for him to go and do that to show forth the glory of God. And in doing this, again, we realize that Jesus was, he still wasn't losing sight of his goal of living the perfect life in the eyes of God. And in all things, he didn't let anything deter him from that goal. He simply wouldn't quit or give up on the things that God wanted him to do. We also realize that Jesus wasn't concerned with physical comfort. We read this in Matthew 8:20. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was one that once he left the home of his mother Mary and began his ministry, he didn't even have a home. He traveled from place to place and slept wherever people would extend him kindness, or even in the streets probably at times. But it was important for him to go about and do the work that his Father sent him to do. And it was so important that he didn't take a care for any of the things of this life, the things that we take for granted. Sometimes I think it's important for us just to think and stop a minute and thank God when we pull up in front of our house that we have a place to live, a place that keeps us warm and dry, and a place to keep the things that we have obtained in this life. And it's important for us, I think, to even be thankful for that as often as we can, because, again, this is something that God has allowed us to obtain, and something that we need to be thankful for, because we realize that there are others who aren't as fortunate, and it's important for us to remember to be thankful for these things. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clotheth the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is pointing out the fact that nature continues in its cycle the way that God intended it to do. And As the followers of God and believers in Jesus, and when we put Him first, He says these other things will fall into place. We all have jobs, we all have financial responsibilities that we have to attend to. Many of us still have children that we are raising and supporting. And in all these things, it's important for us to go about the daily life that we have. But when we put God first, when we realize that that His will needs to be done before our will or the will of anyone else, and we go forth with this attitude and the example that Jesus set, all these other things will fall into place. We may not always have the things of life that we want. We may not have a new car or the house that we want or the wardrobe that we want. But when we do the things that God asks us to do, and we learn to be content with those things and put Him first, we're going to receive a reward and comfort in heaven that's going to be a hundred or a thousandfold better than anything that we could ever hope to achieve in this life. I've had the opportunity of being in some places. There's a house in particular that I was in one time over in Windermere, which is where some of the rich people in this area live. And it actually kind of made me sick when I went in this house to think that there was only two people and a couple of their hired servants that lived there, when probably half of the homeless people in Central Florida could have lived in that house and still had room to spare. And it was kind of, like I said, it kind of made me sick in a way to think that kind of wealth was squandered on a couple of people like that. But that's the way the world thinks. But if we think and live like Christians, we realize that we can learn to be content with the things that we have and the blessings that God has given us in this life, because we realize in the life to come, if we've been judged worthy of a home in heaven, as we said, John in the book of Revelations tries to describe heaven to us in a way that we can understand the glory and magnitude of it, and even the picture that he draws with words cannot, I don't think, adequately describe that place and the glory of that place. And our desire should be to obtain that, because, as we said, it's better than anything that we can ever hope to achieve in this life. And we realize that we will be there forever with God. And, of course, we also realize the consequences if we don't do those things. And it's important for us, I think, to have a good attitude and have a good role model that we can follow in order that we can obtain a home in heaven. And we realize that Jesus set forth that example. And today it's our responsibility as Christians to set that example as well, as parents, as employees, as friends. Whatever we do in life, we should set forth the example of being a good Christian, because not only does it work towards our obtaining a home in heaven, it may influence others as well to take up their cross, as Jesus said, take up a cross and to follow the way that Jesus would have us to go, and follow the path that leads to a home in heaven. And of course, if we work together, the more that we work and support and help each other, the better chance that we all have of achieving that same goal. And as Christians, that should be our desire, to get there and to influence as many people as we can to go there with us as well. That's the conclusion of the lesson this morning. As always, if there are those who need the services of the church, won't you come while we stand and sing?